Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the CASA Connection podcast, the podcast here at CASA that gives you a lot of great information, educational information about the world of foster care. Unfortunately, Tracy Heisler, our executive director, is not with us this week, but the reason why is because we have a great guest that's going to be joining us in just a minute. This month is Sexual Assault Awareness Month throughout the United States, and we wanted to highlight this particular issue, and as it pertains to the world of foster care and just within our communities in general, just because of how prevalent this issue is and how prevalent sexual assault is for many youth, many families in our area, in our region, our state, and throughout our nation. So, as I mentioned, we have a fantastic guest that is going to be joining us to get into this discussion. Let's get right to it. Joining us this week from Safe and Sound Somerset, they are a great partner of ours at CASA Shaw. We have the one, the only, Joelle Piercy. Joelle, how are you? And thanks so much for joining us here on our CASA Connection podcast.
Great. Thank you so much for having me. Looking forward to having this important conversation.
It's a very important conversation. As I mentioned, it is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. And part one here is where we wanted to really talk about, you know, what sexual assault really looks like within our communities, within the world of foster care, you know, why it's important for folks to get to know more about this terrible phenomenon, you know, talk about healthy consent, what that actually looks like as well, and also some available support services for folks who are going through very traumatic situations here. So again, we appreciate you joining us, and we really wanted to bring you on board to talk about just how, not just, of course, how terrible this phenomenon is, but what it really looks like, because sexual assault can take the form in many different shapes and sizes within the course of somebody's back and forth, you know, and it's not just a man to female thing, you know, it can be female to male, female to female, male to male. Mm-hmm. So in terms of educating the public a little bit more, why don't we get started and, you know, where you want the discussion to go here?
Absolutely. Well, one important message is that sexual assault is not an individual issue. It's not something that is just dealt with privately. Sexual assault impacts almost our whole community in some way or another, whether someone experiences it directly, you care about someone who's experiencing it, and it will take all of us to end it. The statistics are shocking. More than one in three women, nearly one in four men, and about 47% of transgender and non-binary people will experience some form of sexual violence involving physical contact in their lifetime.
It's incredible. I also read a statistic as well, which I, you know, this isn't just something made out of thin air, that every 68 seconds, somebody is sexually assaulted, and every 9 minutes that victim is a child, yet only 25 out of every 1,000 perpetrators actually end up being held accountable via our justice system. So I think it's an incredible statistic to highlight, not just that one, but the ones that you just mentioned as well, because of the phenomenon that it is, and inevitably what it does to individuals throughout the course of their life, what they have to live with, the mental anguish, and again, the trauma that folks have to go through, and sometimes takes decades and decades in order to really hone in on and really deal with that trauma.
Absolutely. Violence victimization is associated with higher rates of depression, anxiety, higher rates of suicide ideation and substance abuse, and higher rates of future violence, both victimization and perpetration, causing harm and unfortunately experiencing more harm. And it's, and so again, it has these ripple effects in our whole community.
It absolutely does. And I'd like to really kind of get into, I think we've gotten better in some areas, but we have a lot of work to do. Joelle, what does healthy consent really look like? And can we dive into that a little bit more here?
Absolutely. And this is an important piece of this. Sexual violence is, and sexual assault is unwanted contact that is done without consent, and it is based in power and control. This is why some groups do tend to be at higher risk. Unfortunately, foster youth tend to be at higher risk for having experienced violence and unfortunately experiencing sexual violence in the future as well. And part of it is because of the way the system creates a power or disadvantage with some groups in some communities. And so what's really helpful first is to define safety. Even before we get to consent, because consent is part of safety. And so what I would like to define consent or safety, I'd like to define safety in terms of positive power and control. So is it all right if we engage in a little discussion here?
Absolutely.
A little activity here?
Let's do it.
All right. Here's a little exercise.
Okay.
So I want to ask you, what does it look like for you to have power and control over your own life?
For me, power and control over my own life is the ability to make my own decisions and do that freely.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that's correct. Folks, we did not go over this before we hit the record button. I'm just letting you know. I hope that if there's a correct answer, Joelle, I hope it's that.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I have found and what I love about this exercise is that after asking this question of thousands of people across Somerset County, we have found that that tends to be the most intuitive answer
okay.
for folks. Almost always that first answer has to do with doing what I want, making my own decisions freely, you know, not letting anyone else or not having anyone else pressure me. A lot of times, even the young people that we work with, even without me prompting them, they recognize that that power and control has limits. If it begins to impact other people, there's consequences.
Yep.
Right. And so they'll say things like, it's not just being able to do what I want, but it's being able to control my impulses so I can make the best decisions.
Ah, yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So really interesting. I will be the first to admit, I didn't think that would be an answer I heard, but that really is one of the common threads we see. People understand that power and control over our lives means choices, and that also those choices have consequences. And so we've boiled all of the thousands of answers into three words: choices, boundaries, and consent.
Yes.
Choices, being able to be your authentic self. How do you want to exist in the world? How do you want to live? What are your goals and values? What's important to you? And making those decisions without threats, without undue fear or pressure or manipulation, and having the resources to make those decisions. Then boundaries. This describes our relationships with other people, our interactions with other people, both how they treat us, but also how we treat them, the limits that guide those. And then consent, permission, the ability to say yes or no, is how we set those boundaries. And consent can be sexual, which we'll talk about in a second, but it can also be material. Yes, you can use my phone. Or emotional. No, I don't like that joke. So now I'm going to ask you a different question.
Okay.
If you have a sense of power and control of your own life, if you're able to make your own decisions, if you feel comfortable setting boundaries and trust that the people around you are going to listen to those boundaries, how do you feel?
Safe and secure.
Safe and secure?
Yeah.
We've heard confident, trusted,
yeah.
Safe, human, respected. And now let's flip that. How does that feel if you don't have a sense of power and control? If people are threatening, pressuring your decisions, or you don't have the resources to make those decisions, if they are violating, dismissing, or denying your boundaries, or ignoring those yeses or nos.
Yeah. How I would feel in that situation, first off, I would feel lost. I would mm-hmm. feel, again, out of control. And inevitably, I think I would feel less of a person.
Absolutely. And that is so heavy. And that also shows why sexual violence of all kinds is so harmful, right? It could be sexual assault with physical contact, but it could also be pressuring someone or trying to manipulate or even catcalling, right? All of these actions are violating those very basic feelings of personal power and control, including consent. And so now that we've kind of established that importance, just how important that is, let's talk a little bit about that choices and consent. Because again, consent can be used physically, emotionally,
yep.
materially, but then also sexually. This is really important. And of course, there are some legal guidelines as well, depending on what state you're listening in.
Okay.
So consent for sexual activity must be freely given, reversible, informed, everyone's on the same page, and specific. So freely given, no pressure, threat, undue fear, right? Manipulation. Let's say someone says yes, but only because their partner kept on asking them over and over again. Let's do this. No. Come on, let's do this. If you loved me enough, you would do this.
Yep.
No.
Right.
Please, you're leading me on. Fine. Is that a real yes? Is that a free yes?
Exactly. Yeah. It's not. No, I mean, it's not. It's pressure.
Yeah. Absolutely. So reversible. You have to be able to change your mind at any time. Young people ask me a lot, like, well, what point can you change your mind until? As if there's a certain point that you can't change your mind anymore. Even in the middle of an action, if you say no, the other person has to listen. Even if it's a little uncomfortable, even if it's disappointing, if they don't stop, that crosses the line from consensual activity to sexual assault. At the moment they say no and the other person doesn't stop.
I think what's interesting is what we're talking about is generating and creating healthy boundaries too. You know, it's a lot of that, as well as what those boundaries inevitably then mean to the person. And I think for folks that didn't grow up with, didn't know, understand, or have implemented within their young lives these type of boundaries, that's why the cycle continues to perpetuate itself.
Mm-hmm. And think about how many movies you've seen where it centers on a story of someone repeatedly asking someone out, and then they keep saying no, but then all of a sudden they say yes and everything's great, and it's seen as this cutesy love story.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And really, is that, thinking about back to that power and control, is that a relationship based on equal power and control where both people are freely able to make their decision?
Yeah, absolutely. Right? Exactly. It's a great example.
Yeah. One of my coworkers said just the other day, and I love this phrase, they said, it's been normalized, but that doesn't make it normal.
Right. Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so, you know, the other aspects of consent is that everyone needs to be on the same page. Everyone needs to be awake, sober. Everyone needs to be of age. There are age legal concerns in New Jersey. The legal age of sexual consent is 16. And then if someone is between the ages of 13 and 15, they can consent to sexual activity with someone who is less than 4 years older than them, as long as they're not a caregiver or family member or supervisor. But then under 13, the law says that someone under 13 cannot engage in, cannot legally consent to sexual activity, and that would be a mandatory report to social services and police.
Yeah, it's great, yeah. Great information for our listeners out there. And as we're going to be wrapping things up here in just a bit, Joelle, I know that you also wanted to discuss available services as well for individuals within our Part One podcast here of how people can get help. And I know it's not the easiest thing for individuals, and especially youth as well, who are going through sexual assault, and if it's become integrated within their lives, tragically, it's difficult for them to want to actually seek help, understand how to seek help, or even where to go for it if they want it. So feel free to, you know, dish out that information to folks here.
Absolutely. So first of all, if you're unsure, if you want to talk about something that may have happened, please know we always have a 24/7 call and text helpline available. We also have an Ask Ava series podcast on our website, safe-sound.org, and our helpline is 866-685-1122. The Ask Ava podcast, we actually take real questions from students and young people about these topics and answer them in short, three-minute segments, really short, really getting right to the point.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, but otherwise, every single county is required to have services for people who are impacted by sexual violence, whether it's the person directly, whether it's family members, friends, kids, it doesn't matter. So every single county does have a similar helpline. You're welcome to call our helpline or the New Jersey CASA, NJCASA helpline. That's the Coalition Against Sexual Assault. And then we can connect you to your local organization if that's what you wish, or if it works, we can provide support as well. There's counseling services, which are for people impacted by sexual violence, are available to youth ages 13 and over without parental consent. And then every single county is required to have a sexual assault response team. This sexual assault response team is a multidisciplinary team of professionals that includes a volunteer from their local survivor services organization, like Safe and Sound Somerset, a nurse examiner at the hospital that collects evidence, does what's typically referred to as the rape kit, and then a law enforcement officer, a representative. And so if someone has experienced sexual assault in the last 5 days, they can choose to activate this team or just a part of this team. If they only want to talk to the nurse, that's okay. If they want to talk to the nurse and advocate, but not the police, that's okay. If they decide, I want to activate everything, but they get to the hospital and say, I don't want to speak to anyone, that's okay too. Because we really want to respect their individual choices and boundaries and consent. That is so important, especially after an assault, especially after sexual violence. One of the best things you can do to support someone is, first of all, believing them in their experiences and their feelings.
Absolutely.
And then also doing what you can to give them an opportunity to make their own decisions and set their own boundaries and say yes or no.
What a great way to end this CASA Connection podcast here. Again, mm-hmm. folks, she is Joelle Piercy from Safe and Sound Somerset. Head on over to their website. What is your website again? I'm sorry, I'm forgetting off the top of my head.
Yeah, it's safe-sound.org.
Very good. Head on over there. They've got a lot of great resources, a lot of great information as well as it pertains to sexual assault and, you know, how to handle, how to heal, how to just engage and educate yourself on this issue. Please feel free to pass this podcast episode along to your friends and family members who may find it valuable. And I will also say this as well. Joelle was a partner with us with regard to our CASA Shaw family video series, and she did a fantastic presentation and discussion, which is on our YouTube channel, about healthy relationships and what actual healthy relationships within family, within our community really looks like. So if you head on over to YouTube, search CASA Shaw, you can go to our YouTube channel and look at the playlist of our family video series, and you're going to see Joelle in there with a fantastic discussion about healthy boundaries and healthy relationships as well. So Joelle, thank you again for taking the time to join us here. It was great having you on, and I'm looking forward to the next time you're on. Part two is right around the corner.
Absolutely. Thanks for this great conversation.
And again, folks, you can head on over to casashaw.org. We have a great resources page over there as well. We are on Instagram at @CASA_Shaw. Head on over to our Facebook page as well. If you are new to the area, if you are new to CASA Shaw as well, facebook.com/CASA Shaw. And we'd love for you to get more engaged with us. If there's a subject matter you'd like us to talk about here on the CASA Connection podcast, shoot us off an email that'll go to our executive director, Tracy Heisler. info@casashaw.org. Until next time, folks, you all take care. We'll catch you on the next CASA Connection podcast.